on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And welcome. You're in the clubhouse. It's Memorial Day weekend, May 26th, almost June. And starting off the show with the voice of golf and co-host of The Grill Room. He's on Sirius 208 and XM 93. His name is Bob Bupka. Welcome to the show, Bob. It's good to hear you.
Danielle, great to be with you. Happy Memorial Day weekend to all of your listeners. And a special thank you to you. I know your son actively involved in the military, and we appreciate everything that everybody has ever done to keep our life the way it is.
You know, I got to tell you, I had a late night last night, real late. I was up until 10:30, and my son's back from Afghanistan. He's in for 2 weeks of R&R, and we had a really good time. It's just wonderful seeing him. You know, we don't see him for 6 months, and he comes flying in. He looks so good. Get big bear hug. It's great. By the way, somebody forgot to put in the request for a sunny weekend. We're going to have breezy. They say mostly sunny. I don't know. We're going to have isolated showers mornings and afternoons and evenings, and the winds are easterly 15 to 25, gusting to 40 at times. There's a high surf advisory up for the east-facing shores of Kauai, Oahu, Molokai, and Maui, and the wind advisory until 6 o'clock tonight for Haleakala, which, of course, is way up there, and you probably don't want to have one of those SUVs driving up Haleakala, or at least be very careful if you do. So we're going to take a tour of the tour with Bob Bupka, who's been covering golf since he was born, about 25 years ago. Came out of the hospital and straight onto the PGA Tour. Let's start off. Jason Duffner, is he something to watch or what? And Zach Johnson, they're both going to be playing as paired individuals. Jason Duffner, amazing. He could, he could actually do something really special. Ben Hogan, I think, did it last, right? He won the Byron Nelson and the Colonial in the same year. And here we got Jason Duffner about to do it back-to-back if he holds through the weekend. Bob, are you still with me? I think we've lost Bob. Well, that's one of the things that we're hoping. Are you there, Bob? Okay, we're just having some technical difficulties. Bo Van Pelt, also working really hard to get to the top of the leaderboard. We've got Tommy Two Gloves Gainey, Tom Gillis, Ryan Palmer. I've been watching Ryan Palmer because he's doing some amazing stuff. He keeps creeping up to the top. Sometimes I'm convinced. I had Ryan on the show after he won here in Hawaii, and it's better if Danielle doesn't pay too much attention to people. Harris English, the rookie, he shot a 60, I think, to qualify for the Open. And here he is doing so well on the PGA Tour. Kelly Kraft, David Mathis, Jim Furyk moving up a leaderboard. Bob, are you with me?
I am, Danielle.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. So Jason Duffner, he may set a history, make history this weekend.
Well, one other person won, the Byron Nelson and then won the Colonial in the same year. And that was back in 1946 when the first one was played. And I think you heard of this guy, Ben Hogan.
Him.
Is the guy that accomplished that, Jason Duffner. Trying to get his name now alongside of Ben Hogan. There have been 15 guys that have won both events, but only one won them in the same year.
Okay. Jason's interesting to watch. I actually saw a picture of him smiling. Doesn't do a lot of that. Have you followed him on the course?
Yeah, smile's not part of his modus operandi, but, you know, what he's accomplishing on the golf course, merely incredible. Now, had he won the PGA Championship, like probably he should have, a series of fluke shots and fluke events led to the loss to Keegan Bradley, we would be ranting and raving about Jason Duffner now. But because of that, he's been behind the scenes just a little bit. Now, he won down in New Orleans. He got married, and then he won the Byron Nelson. He did that all within a span of 22 days, and now he's trying to win for the second week in a row. He's solid. He's got a a nice pre-shot routine. He doesn't go overboard with it. Takes a few waggles. Matter of fact, it's kind of ironic because Ben Hogan used to make the waggle a part of his swing. And then he just has a consistent move through the hitting area, Danielle. And I don't care how you come at the ball. If you come at the ball the same time every time, then you can play this game. And right now, nobody's playing it any better than Jason Duffner.
Yeah, yeah, he's really something. It's great to see. He's just set up. You know, somebody said, what are you going to work on after the two rounds, these great two rounds of golf that he's had already? What are you going to work on? No, nothing. I'm going to rest. Why would he want to work on his game? He shot a 65 and a 64.
Well, he did have to work on something. He had to work on his fastball because he threw out the first pitch at a Texas Rangers game last night. So he accomplished that in fine style. He's really becoming a celebrity, but I've met his wife, Amber, a lovely person. I think those two are going to make a great team together. And I like Jason Duffner, and he's no fluke. He's been working hard for 3 or 4 years, and now his game is just manifesting itself at the highest level.
Harris English, didn't he shoot a 60 qualifying for the Open?
Yeah, I mean, he's mind-boggling. The fact that he qualified, he didn't play nearly as well in the second round. Shot a whopping 63. But he is going to be at Royal Lithium. And, hey, who knows? I mean, you know, he won on the Nationwide Tour last year. He also shot a 60 last year on the PGA Tour in Hartford, Connecticut. I mean, you can go on and on about Harris English. He's really something.
Yeah, Kelly Kraft is already finished with his third round. He shot a 64 today. For now, he's tied for ninth. Of course, we've got the leaders haven't really teed off yet, at least not from the leaderboard that I've got here in front of me. Kelly Kraft, can you tell us a little bit about him?
Well, U.S. Amateur Champion, that's all you have to know. He's trying to gain his card through sponsors' exemptions and not wanting to go to Q school, and he's playing very well. He's going to need, you know, a solid round tomorrow to maybe get into the top 10, which would be extremely important because that'll give him another start on the PGA Tour, and he wouldn't be using up a sponsor's exemption. So there'll be a lot of heat on Kelly Kraft tomorrow, but I think he has the goods.
You know, what you just said is gain his card without having to go to Q school. Q school is going to go away pretty soon. Then you'll be able to gain your card if you get sponsor exemptions, if you get to play events, and if you earn X amount of dollars, if you're within the 124 players on the tour.
Right about that, Danielle, okay. Although I'm very upset at the fact that Q school is going to go away. I think it's been a huge part of the game for quite a while, and it's not the new guys that are trying to come out there. Just think of this, Danielle. You take a guy that's maybe been on the tour 7 or 8 years, and he's having a real lousy year, and he just can't get it together. As the year starts to wind down, he now recognizes, wow, I'm not going to be able to play out here for a year. I'm going to have to play on the Nationwide Tour for a year and try and get my card back that way. Whereas currently, somebody that's having a bad year always had Q school in the back of their mind. If they went there, they played, you know, a couple of good solid rounds, they get their card right back, and they're right back on the PGA Tour. So I'm not a fan of Q school being eliminated.
No, I'm not either. I think it makes for really good stories. But the question, what do you have to earn these days to keep your card, to be in that 124? What is it, $700,000 now?
Yeah, just about that. And then you take the $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 they get on endorsements, and then they get to play in some pro-ams. You know, if you're a successful PGA Tour player and you never won, you'll be taking home a little over $1 million a year.
Wow. Well, and now we've got Jim Furyk, Vijay Singh, Louis Oosthuizen. Who are you watching in this particular event, other than Jason Duffner?
Well, my eyes are on Jason Duffner. I'd love to see him come through. You know, Zach Johnson, very tough. He won it, and 2010. He finished second last year. His game is ideally suited, and now he's for Colonial. It's a very flat golf course, small green. To be at the greens, you're going to have a very makeable birdie putt, and they built it flat mainly because of the heat. If this was a hilly golf course, it'd be extremely tough to play. You know, temperature today going to be around 90 degrees, and humidity's always high, so the fact that it's flat is pretty good. Ryan Palmer, you know, he certainly could get the job done. Local boy,
yeah,
nice guy, and,
isn't he?
A good game.
Yeah, truly. We're going to talk a little bit about the Champions Tour and the European Tour. Rory McIlroy's meltdown. Luke Donald coming on strong. But first, let's take care of the people who take care of us. Let's thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, and sheet metal. When you need a new roof, flashing, gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, or a commercial kitchen and custom stainless steel counters, it's Alakai Mechanical. Also brought to you by Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr. Bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And by Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business or special event. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
And on the Champions Tour, it is the 73rd Senior PGA Championship. This is a is this the major of the majors, Bob?
Well, it probably shares top billing with two other events. I would think the British Senior Open and the United States Senior Open are right up there with this PGA, with Roger Chapman currently tied for the lead with John Cook. John Cook's going to be awful tough to beat down the stretch. But the guy you got to keep an eye on, Danielle, Dale Irwin, 67 years old, looking to win this championship this weekend, and it's a perfect golf course for him. A Jack Nicklaus design where you have to be extremely accurate with your irons coming into the green, and over the years, nobody's been any better than Hale Irwin.
Yeah, we call him a local boy because he used to play out of Hawaii. You know, he had his home course was right over here, so Hale's our very own in Hawaii. Hale Irwin, 67, playing amazing golf. He said something that I thought was perfect. He said, the thing about getting older is you don't know what part of your body's going to hurt the next day. You know, it's kind of...
Yeah, the only thing you can hope for as you get older, it's your mind that goes bad first. That way you won't know if anything else is hurting.
All right. Okay. So, but he's in great shape. Now, Freddie Couples, I was watching him play. He did not have a good day. He did not. It looked like he was hurting a bit. He didn't seem as loose as he usually does.
Well, good observation there, Danielle. His back is acting up a little bit, and you know, that has been the plague of Fred Couples for such a long time. One can only wonder the things that he would have accomplished had he been blessed with a strong back. But he wasn't, and he just goes about his business, and he's not going to win, certainly this week. But, you know, I think when we catch Fred with a good back, he'll be in contention again. I'm going to give you a little tip-off,
okay.
And your listeners on your show will be the first to hear this. I'm predicting that on Tuesday, this coming week, at the Memorial Tournament, that the next President's Cup captains are going to be announced, and I'm speculating that it's going to be Fred Couples again, but not Greg Norman. And I think Nick Price is going to get the nod.
Oh, Nick Price. Oh, that'd be fabulous. I mean, I like Greg Norman, but it's always nice to see Nick Price do something. Great. I also like the fact that Bernard Langer is moving up the leaderboard, and I always keep my eye on Jadon Blake, too. Interesting fellow. He's doing much better on the Champions Tour now. What changed for him? What part of his game?
Well, you know, when players get to the Champions Tour, they realize that maybe you don't have to be as perfect. And this would work well for any of your listeners, Danielle. You don't have to hit every shot perfect in order to have a good round. You know, if the pin is located near the edge, just go for the middle of the green and you know, just try and make it easier on yourself. And I think more and more players, after getting beat up on the PGA Tour, when they say they get to the Champions Tour, they say, well, I'm just going to relax a little bit. I'm going to have a little more fun. And as a direct parallel, they end up playing a lot better golf.
Interesting. Okay, I think with that thought, and you know, absolutely, the one thing I saw Morrison melt down on the European Tour. That was sad. It was horrible to watch. He, I think he had a snowman in eight, you know, and then he went to the next hole and the announcer was saying, well, you just have to put that in the past and know that, you know, don't try to make birdies to get back to the top of the leaderboard. You just want to get your game back, you know, and the poor guy goes way out of, into the, he's hanging over, what looks like a garbage pail. It's full of water. The announcer says, it looks like, gee, I thought he was going to get sick in the, you know, because it made me feel ill watching him play like that. You really do need to realize that just because you had a bad moment, you know, but it's so hard to put that away. And I think Rory McIlroy was having a really bad moment when he was throwing his clubs about. Did you?
Yeah, it wasn't good to see. Rory's a little frustrated right now. This normally happens as the time starts to wind short. Before the defense of his U.S. Open title coming up in just a matter of weeks now at the Olympic Club in San Francisco. Rory's not happy with the way he's playing. And let me, you know, specify that. Rory's not happy with the way he's playing on the golf course. He's thrilled to death the way he's playing off the golf course with the number one tennis player in the world.
Okay, somebody said, is his love life affecting his game?
Why wouldn't it?
Is it?
You know, I mean, golf's a tough sport, and to be in love with somebody and play your best golf, not that easy. Although, all I have to say is Jason Duffner, I can guarantee you he's madly in love right now, and it's not affecting his golf game. But, of course, he's a little older. Jason Duffner, a good 13 years older than Rory McIlroy. So at 23, when you fall in love to the extent that he has, and unfortunately for him, they don't play tennis tournaments in the same place they're playing golf tournaments. So the whole globe has been exposed. He has to fly thousands and thousands of miles to see her. She has to do the same thing. It's starting to take its toll, but he'll get himself together. I look for a good defense. I don't know if he'll win at Olympic Club, Danielle, but I think he'll play very well.
Luke Donald is playing quite well in this BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth, redone by Ernie Els. Ernie apparently got really, really salty, as we say here, very angry that they weren't keeping the greens watered. I think he used an expletive to say something to the effect of, I can't control the wind, and apparently I can't control the water on the greens, something, why aren't they watering the greens? He got very angry.
Well, because, you know, this is their flagship event. They won a stern test. They didn't water the greens down at the Players' Championship in Ponte Vedra. They're not going to water the greens out at Olympic Club. I mean, when you want to hold a great test of golf, you can't make it like throwing darts into the greens. Ernie Els, under a lot of pressure because he was hired to do the redesign while he's still a contemporary player. And you know, sometimes that doesn't work out as well as if you just bring in a course architect that doesn't have to compete alongside the guys. The one name that I'm really impressed with is Paul Laurie. And looks like he may have an excellent shot of getting on to the Ryder Cup in September. That should be very exciting. And Paul Laurie really lost his game after winning the Open Championship at Carnoustie, but then started playing with his two sons that were teenagers. And he said, holy mackerel, they're almost beating me. I got to get back to practicing and working hard. And he's been doing such. And right now, if the Ryder Cup selection process ended, Paul Lawrie would be on the International Ryder Cup side.
Well, that's good. It's good. He's a great person, a wonderful person. And the fact that he went to play, you know, golf with his sons, it really puts you in a different mind frame. You could throw all of the stuff that's bothering you out the door, just kind of get into their mood. Children, young people, that they can change the way you're thinking and just make you feel better. Everything goes out the window, all the problems at work, anything that's distracting you, and you're right in the present. I think that's what children can do. They bring you right into the present, into the moment. Yeah, I bet he said I need to do something about my golf game.
Yeah, and you're so right, and what a perfect time to take that train of thought to what everybody's going through this weekend, Memorial Day weekend. We want to pay tribute to everybody that's ever served in our defense, and those currently serving and those that made the extreme sacrifice. I know you have a son that's involved, and you ought to be congratulated, and families of troops everywhere ought to be congratulated. And just remember, you know, a golf ball's a lot tamer than a hand grenade.
Yes. Yeah, don't take it too seriously. Thank you so much for being on the show, Bob. We'll talk real soon.
I look forward to it, Danielle.
Thank you. And we'll be back after this. We're going to talk with John Richardson. He wrote a book called Dream On, and then he did. And now his book of the same, that book, Dream On, well, they're making a movie, and it's going to start filming this summer. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker, when we return to the Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency has been providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Guards on foot, bike, and patrol cars for your business, buildings, or retail. Whether it's a store or an entire shopping center, Star Protection provides the security you need. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection is peace of mind.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Waipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Waipu Bay. Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
If you're looking to play a round of golf on Kauai at Poipu, there's a 9:30 and an 11:30 open. The Southside Men's Club and the Lynch family, they're going out to play together. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. And if you're looking for something for someone special, they've got 25% off rack in the pro shop. Okay, we're going to go to Ireland and talk with John Richardson. Back in, 2004, he decided to set himself a challenge to break par. That was the goal. Then he wrote a book because someone said, yeah, right, Dream On. It's just great to have you on the show. Welcome back again, John Richardson.
Hey, Danielle. Wonderful to talk to you again. It's been a little bit, quite a while, hasn't it?
Yes, it has been since you knew that the book had gone to movie script level, and there was talk about who was going to play you,
yeah.
And that hadn't been decided yet. Mm-hmm. That was the last time we spoke.
Yeah, that is, as I think you said in an email to me, that is the movie business. It is a bizarre, surreal, fascinating, and eternally frustrating business, I have to say. But still very exciting. Still very exciting indeed.
Okay, now, what is it? Nick Faldo wants to be in your movie?
Yeah, Nick Fowler wants to be in it now, so the script has been adjusted accordingly, and obviously that is more than a little bit exciting. So there's quite a crucial bit towards the end where Sir Nick Fowler, sorry, I need to really start getting the respect for him.
Yes.
is going to be commentating. I can't really give anything more away at the moment.
Because don't.
You know, such is the movie world, of course. The movie script is a reasonably large amount different from the book. All the highs have been exaggerated and the lows have been exaggerated too, but he's going to be in it.
But that's great. I mean, to know that Sir Nick Faldo wants to be in your movie.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, from what I understand, too, they haven't signed. You must be difficult to cast.
well, yeah, exactly. You'd wonder. I think this is where you start to understand the movie business and you realize the way that it works. And all of these pieces of a jigsaw have to come together. And to get the pieces of the jigsaw to come together, which is the finance and on all of the key roles that are going to be passed on, I don't necessarily mean, the roles of people who are going to play it. And where you might shoot it, and where the director might want it shot, and where, and all of those, not necessarily arguments, but discussions that go on between all of those people, you're trying to pull it all together into a time then that you can have a specific actor who may be in it. For a movie like mine, and that's a great line to say, isn't it?
For
a movie like mine, where so much of it is based around one character, i.e. me, you need to make sure that you get all of those other pieces in jigsaw so you can definitely shoot in that certain date. Because if you've got a proper star there, they're continually, working to specific deadlines. And unless it's a massive movie, you need to hit that date for them, or else then it has a direct knock-on for whatever they might be doing afterwards. So that has been one of the problems, about getting all of those other pieces of the jigsaw together. So that you can then have somebody who can commit to it.
Because they've got schedules, they've got commitments, and everybody's working years in advance.
That's
trying
right.
to figure it all out and put it all together. And then you've got
things like the distributors who may or may not want specific. So you get a big distributor on board, you get people with lots of money coming on board, and then an initial choice may not necessarily fit in with what they wanted. So there, yes. And, as in every single aspect of life, money talks. So you go where the money is, I'm afraid.
Yes.
Highly harsh reality, isn't it?
It is. It's true, though. But you have to, otherwise it won't be made. But
exactly.
Let's go talk a bit about what it is the movie is about. And it's about that quest that you set yourself on, that year-long quest to break par. And then you created Break Par Golf, the Break Par Blueprint, which
That's
you
right.
can find online at breakparblueprint.com, how he accomplished this. But in the process of doing that, what you did, after a year, you met your challenge, you hurt yourself.
That's right, yeah.
Tell us about how that, warning, if you're going to go hit balls, be careful.
Yeah, I think I can look at it in a relatively flippant fashion, and I can look back on the whole year, without perhaps looking at the pain, and I don't mean the physical pain in my arm, but there is no doubt that if you're going to try and maintain a family life, and try and take 30 plus strokes off your average golf game in a year, you're going to put a lot of impact on, your friends, your family, your business partners. And also, if you're going to hit 70,000 golf balls off a hard range mat, you're going to actually put a fair bit of damage into your body too. And coincidentally, my mum, the golf pro who helped me out during the year, she did a lot of wrist damage when she was on the tour. And she had warned me about it. And I just kept going and kept going and kept going. And I knew I was causing myself quite a lot of pain during the year by keeping going. But gradually then, over the last 2 or 3 years, it has got worse and worse and worse. And it's my right wrist particularly. So if you consider that action of coming down, particularly with an iron, which I did so much iron work, and I did so much six iron work in the early days to try and create this entirely new swing, which could, hopefully help me to break par. And that is a lot of iron. It's a lot of a metal club hitting off a hard mat. And your wrist takes a huge amount of that. A huge amount of that damage, huge amount of that shock, sorry. that comes through the body. And the other thing that I worked on a lot was trying to recreate that sort of, basically that Tiger two-iron stinger shot. So I bought an old two-iron blade, and I did an awful lot of that. And that's a very aggressive, hitting hard down into the, you know, into the mat shot or into the ground. And that probably didn't help me either. There's no doubt about it.
So that initial pain, if for someone who may be feeling a little bit of pain,
yeah,
and wondering, what is that like? And where do you feel that?
Well, it's just right in the middle of the wrist, basically. Right at the very deep into it. And ultimately what happened was I ended up, the little bone spur grew out, and I did quite a lot of damage to a number of the ligaments that were in it. And I'd reached a stage about 4 or 5 months ago where I couldn't lift a kettle. I was like a little old lady.
Oh.
You know the way they struggle to lift kettles?
Yes.
So that was me at 45, which is nice. And I couldn't take the jar, you know, the lid off a jar. Oh. That was just, there was whatever was wrong in there. Those were the specific sort of things that I couldn't do. So I could, for example, lift up, you know, a heavy bag or something. That was no problem. But it was that sort of twisting action or anything that put anything, you know, that sort of a twisting motion on my arm. That's what caused the problem.
And
so,
then surgery was the only
surgery was the only route, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so far it has been successful. I spent about five or six weeks in the cast, two or three different types of casts. Seeing as it's such a lovely sunny day, I was forced out into the garden this afternoon to cut the grass and do some slightly boring things. So it's a little bit sore now. And normally I would try and just use that as an excuse not to have to do those kinds of things again, obviously.
Right.
But
right, of course.
But no, it's generally fine. It's generally fine now. So fingers crossed. I mean, I think the reality is it will never quite be the same. But obviously, I don't regret that for a second. You know, I mean, you know, we all, as we get older, you know, just have little bits and parts of us that don't continue to work so well. And I think you just have to accept that.
Just have to accept that. Yes.
Absolutely.
What's gonna hurt tomorrow morning? Who knows?
Exactly.
John Richardson, breakparblueprint.com. You can find out all about how he accomplished breaking par. You don't want to follow the thing about hurting yourself. You want to be a little bit more careful, have some realistic goals. This is a book called Dream On. I highly recommend to read this book. John Richardson wrote Dream On, and he dreamed on, and then the book becomes a movie. You've probably learned an awful lot. Anybody watch Game of Thrones? If you watch Game of Thrones, you've seen John Richardson's daughter. She plays a princess in Game of Thrones. She is a Lannister.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not one of the evil Lannisters. No, she's
a good one.
She's a good Lannister, right? You must have learned an awful lot about this movie business with your daughter Amy being the Lannister princess.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about the power of HBO, which of course is Game of Thrones is an HBO production. That each episode of Game of Thrones, and this is episode, not series, each episode has a higher budget than my entire film. So it shows the huge, huge, vast organization and creative power and spread of that program. And they are, it's a stunning organization. And she has had the most incredible ride through the whole thing. She, I was joking with a friend earlier on. I'm delighted that actually you decided to talk about me, first of all, and not talk about her. because, you know, I'm starting increasingly at the age of, you know, 45 to have to play second fiddle to my 14-year-old daughter because of this. So, yeah, it's been incredible, Danielle. It's been absolutely amazing. You know, she spent 2 and a bit weeks in Croatia earlier on this year.
They film in Dubrovnik, right?
That's right.
Yes, it's a beautiful old town.
It's wonderful. And you know, Tyrion, who play, you know, her uncle, who won the Emmy this year, you know,
yes,
she's really, you know, when she did her first scene in Game of Thrones, she was in makeup with Sean Bean sitting beside her. You know, it has been this incredible roller coaster ride. And there are a number of kids in the series, and they're all lovely kids, and they get on very, very well. And you know, the actors, you know, Charles Dance, for goodness sake, plays her grandfather. You know, trust me, I didn't have opportunities like that when I was 14.
No,
he's got, you know, she's having an amazing time, absolutely amazing time.
But the insight that you've gained, you must really understand the business. Initially, when you went from book to movie,
yeah,
it's very frustrating. And the time, it's difficult to understand why it's taking so long. But then when you watch something like an HBO series, and each episode, as it's put together, it's phenomenal.
It's phenomenal. And it's also worth bearing in mind that, you know, the books from the first book that George R. R. Martin wrote, I think they were talking about turning it into sort of films or, you know, TV stuff, you know, for about 12 years, 14 years, something like that, you know. So these things take a long, long time. And actually me, you know, I've done 2 years of frustration waiting for this to come together. And that is, in movie land, that is nothing. I have a close friend that managed to get a film made a few years ago, and I spoke to him about when it was shooting out in this summer, and he said, that's amazing. He said, that is incredibly fast for the movie business. So you have to have a different perspective in terms of time. There's no doubt about it.
So, and that kind of goes back to your perspective on breaking par.
Yeah.
You decided to do it a year. Most people should probably give themselves a lifetime.
Well, yes, you know, I mean, yeah, you know, well, of course, you know, there are two perspectives on that. Yes, to an extent, but I mean, I think you've got to give yourself some period of time if you really, really want to do it. And I think, you know, I worked it out, and I did quite a lot of corporate speaking off the back of this now, because there is no doubt that it transfers through to a corporate market, that concept of being able to make, you know, substantial transformative change within a year. And it took me about 1,000 hours of dedicated work to break par. And I think what, from my perspective, that's 1,000 hours of absolutely dedicated improvement. And that doesn't mean it didn't all get worse at various times, because it did. And it also doesn't mean I didn't go down a lot of dead ends and you know, alleyways that came to nowhere. But most golfers basically spend 1,000 hours. Actually, a lot of golfers might spend 500 hours every single year in and around and involved with golf. But most of the time, they're actually not doing anything to really properly improve. And they think they might be. They might be taking 2 or 3 lessons a year or something like that, but they're not accurately, brutally, honestly measuring their improvement. They're not saying, I'm here now, I take this amount of putts on average, you know, I get up and down this amount of times, I get this amount of green and regulations, and these are the things that I'm going to fix, and I'm going to do it by whatever period of time. Now, you know, it would be daft. I'm not in any way suggesting that what I did was necessarily a sensible thing to do, but I think there are a lot of golfers out there who basically just wish they could get better, and they don't actually manage to sit down and have a concrete plan based upon a brutally honest and accurate definition of where they are now, and then go to work rather than just going and having a lovely time with their friends. So, yeah, that's fine if that's all you want to do, but I'm really talking about those golfers who genuinely want to improve, you know?
And then you have to realize that you're going to have to put in the time.
For sure. For sure. You know?
There you go. So to assess where you are now, make a plan to where you want to go next, and know that it's going to require dedication and hard work and sacrifice. Oh,
I mean, I think one of the very biggest lessons that I got was from a friend of mine who ultimately plays, I think he plays off plus one now. He has played as low as plus two, possibly plus three. Very, very good as an amateur golfer. He has won all sorts of stuff. But he talked to me about whenever he was getting good, and he got very good in a short period of time too. And he talked to me about, he said, every single golfer basically on the planet, what they do after a round is they go and they have, you know, a drink or a couple of drinks or whatever in the bar, and then that's it. He said what he did was he would go in and he would have a lemonade for about 20 minutes and a pleasant chat, and he'd hit the range every single time. And it's just one of those little things that stuck with me in terms of the difference between somebody actually wanting to get properly good and a normal club social golfer, you know, and who just wants to enjoy all of the social side of it. Now, as I say, there's nothing wrong with that, but if you really want to get good, you have to sacrifice some of that. I have to sacrifice a lot of that.
There you go. John Richardson, always a pleasure to catch up with you. We need to do it. Well, we should know who's going to play you pretty soon, since...
We should, and the minute I know, you will be maybe not first on the list. I will tell my wife first, obviously. But you'll be very high up the list. Trust me. I'll tell my mum too before.
Yeah. A wife, mum, and then Danielle. Okay.
That sounds perfect.
John Richardson, breakparblueprint.com. Thanks for being on the show.
A pleasure, as ever, Danielle.
Okay, we'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
So I was sitting in my office feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinting do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation? Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels, your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Waipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Waipu Bay. Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Oh, welcome back to the show, the clubhouse. Yes, you remember last weekend we were over at the Mid-Pacific Country Club for the Jenny Kay? Well, Ann Miller was on the show. She writes for the advertiser, the golf writer for the Star advertiser. Takes a while to make that transition, doesn't it? Yeah. It took a long time, she writes, for golfer Nicole Sakamoto to learn how to win, and even longer for her to win at home. But after capturing last week's Jenny Kay Invitational, she's among an elite group of women who've won all three Hawaii majors. Days after graduating from James Madison, Sakamoto became the 11th woman to win the Hawaii State Stroke and Match Play Championships, and Jenny Kay. The list includes Hawaii Golf Hall of Famers Joan Damon, Edna Lee Jacola, and Bev Kim, who were winning in the 50s and 60s. Congratulations to Nicole Sakamoto. Really good going. And, of course, she comes out and competes at such a high level after just graduating. Then we went on to the 2012 U.S. Women's Open sectional. Mina Nakayama won the sectional. It was played over at the Wailea Country Club, 36 holes. Mina is a Hawaii student who came out of school and then went straight to the Japan LPGA, where she's been playing. She has missed a couple cuts, and she's made several. World Ladies Championship, Salam Paz, she was in that cup, and she also was in the Nishijin Ladies Classic and in the T-Point Ladies Golf Tournament, all on the Japan LPGA, and now she's playing in the U.S. Women's Open. All right, we've been talking just a little bit about Mizuno. It just happens to be that we've got, you know, I had no idea that John Richardson went out and got himself a Mizuno 2-iron because he wanted to perfect the Tiger Woods Stinger. Brian Morgan is the rep for Mizuno, who's going to be talking to us about, well, among other things, that actually Tiger Woods started with a set of Mizuno clubs, irons, before he changed. And Mizuno likes to think, so that's why he doesn't play so well anymore. Welcome to the show, Brian Morgan.
Thank you.
It's good to
be here.
You know, so what is the general feeling about Tiger leaving Mizuno? And, of course, he did not, you guys didn't pay anything for him. He just used those clubs because he liked them.
Yes, as an amateur, he won his three USAMs in his first seven PGA Tours, including his first major at the Masters in 97 using our irons. And we enjoyed having him with us. Obviously, we knew it wouldn't last. We knew he was going to be way too big a star for us to be able to pay him, but we sure enjoyed having him while we did. We sure liked talking about how we enjoyed our product.
And how
one day he might come back to it.
Yeah, and the success he had with it. Yes, now having success, Stacey Lewis, she just won over in Mobile, right? LPGA Championship over there. Or is it the Mobile Classic?
Mobile Classic.
Yeah, the Mobile Classic. And Luke Donald is now leading at Wentworth. He's the defending champion. He finished second the year before that. I don't think anybody's done back-to-back wins at the PGA, European PGA Championship, the BMW PGA, since Colin Montgomery. He did it, he was the last to do it. He won three times in a row. I think he considers that one of his greatest accomplishments. Of course, he'd never won a major. He was, poor Colin, that's tough. It's got to be. Hopefully he can win a senior.
It'd be nice. He actually played us for a little while, too, when he was under contract with some other people. He played our irons there for a bit.
Right. Well, Luke is not long off the tee, obviously, and he uses those irons so accurately to perfection. Tell us why you think Mizuno is such a good iron.
Well, it's what our heritage is. We've been making forged irons for over 40 years. Been the industry leader. We were the number one iron on the tour for 8 years in a row, and on the European tour for many years also, without paying nearly the money that a lot of the companies are. We have a great heritage in forging. We have the only patented forging process in the iron industry. And all our irons are made out of the Chulu plant in Japan with great, we apply more pressure, more heat, use a higher tolerance metal. The common thing is that nothing feels like a Mizuno, and for a touring pro, feel and feedback is key to his game. And so for Luke and many others, they rely on our irons and our wedges, you know, to control their distance, their ball flight, and get that feedback they need to keep improving and scoring well. So,
The Japanese have been for thousands of years expert at the folding of metal to create the perfect sword, right?
Absolutely. And that's what we refer to as the samurai sword, you know, that craftsmanship and quality. That's what we do with our golf clubs, and that's really what does set us apart, especially for a company that doesn't have the advertising budget that a lot of the companies do. To have the following, the cult following we have and have had for years has been a joy for us. It's something we spend a lot of time and effort into controlling and keeping.
You talk about something called the, now I'm probably mispronouncing it, or will, the T-muscle or tie muscle technology?
Tie muscle. It is where we blend our patented 10-20 carbon steel with a titanium insert at the back of the iron, which allows us to take 20 grams of forged carbon steel, replace it with 12 grams of forged titanium, giving us 8 grams of weight to build more around the perimeter. It also stabilizes the iron more, so on missed hits you offer more stability, more accuracy, and we've done it in such a great way that traditionally striking titanium would take away a little feel, but with our new process of doing this, we actually have the titanium set back far enough away from the carbon steel strike. You get great feel and feedback, and it's been a wonderful line, our MP59. In fact, most of our tour players, including Lou Donald, Charles Howe, and Jonathan Bird, all made the switch into that golf club this year and have been doing very well with it.
The MP59, that's recommended for someone with a handicap plus 2 to 13, right?
Correct. It's a nice blend of, it's got a great traditional look, but because of the weighting distribution we're able to build to the golf club, that even someone who's not the best ball striker can get a lot of performance and forgiveness off the golf club. We don't say it's a game improvement iron. It's not for that player looking for the ability to strike all over the face, but someone who wants to be able to get great ball flight control, great distance control, but at the same time not have to hit every single ball dead in the middle like a Luke Donald or a Charles Howell does. So it's got some nice forgiveness with that feedback and address. The club is just gorgeous.
Okay, yeah, you see, you mentioned that it adds a little bit of a sweet area, about 5% larger?
Correct.
Yeah, just
by moving the weighting around with the combination of the sole grind and that weight, like I said, that would have normally been 20 grams replaced with 12, that 8 grams of weight to build around the perimeter of the golf club definitely increases our sweet spot by 5% over its predecessor, the MP58.
Okay, and then you also, another new iron that you have is the MP69. Right. That's some for the plus 6 to 7 handicap.
That is your traditional blade for the player, but also once again doing this new sole grind and weighting our 4D muscle pad, it allows us to redistribute weight more in a blade style iron than we've ever been able to do. So even though it's still for that great traditionalist that loves the look and feel, there is some nice playability in the golf club that isn't as demanding as the traditional blade slash muscle back of the past. It's it's a very fun golf club to play with. Once again, great looking, a lot of feel and feedback, which is what we strive for as a company.
Okay, now this is for the, you know, the precious few who can really hit. Then there's the, you know, the unwashed masses who go out there and just, you know, do our darndest to try to make it around the course. I'm not sure that the Mizuno JPX 800 Pro Golf Irons are for us either, and I put myself deep in there. The Handicap 4 to 20, though, this is for a group that's not, you know, the people with that don't even bother with their handicap. They just like to play.
We break our irons into two categories.
Please.
We have our MP line, which is our Mizuno players, our Mizuno performance. It's a game enhancement iron. Those are for the players that already have a pretty good game, but would like to enhance it with more feel and feedback, better ball flight, disc control. And then for the rest of us mortals who just enjoy the game and want to play, we make our JPX line.
Okay.
And the JPX has a lot more game improvement features built into it. Little wider soles, lower, deeper center gravities, larger effective hitting areas, but I think we maintain that look and feel better than a lot of our competitors with, so that even a club like the JPX Pro, which was never designed to be a tour style head, it was designed to be a game improvement, you know, a player's game improvement, but kind of the way to do it, kind of that niche in there. We've had, you know, Stacey Lewis is using on the tour. Charles Howell, when he came with it last year, he played that through most of the year until he switched to the 59. There's still a few players on the European tour, men's and women's players, that are playing that golf club, where it's designed to be a club for a lot of players, and it's done tremendously well for us. It's been a very well-received iron by a very large percentage of players.
What would you recommend to the player that's not that good? Would you suggest the JPX 800?
The 800 or the 800 HD, both of those are more, you know,
forgiving.
What we call game improvement and super game improvement irons. The HD, standing for high distance, has a lower, deeper center of gravity, a larger effective hitting area by the addition of higher toe and lower heel weighting, which increases the effective hitting area across the face. But without making the club so big and massive looking that it's intimidating for a lot of players, or you can't play it on as many golf clubs. In fact, the 800 HD was a Golf Digest Hot List winner, and in the current Golf Magazine where they did the players test, it was their top-rated, what they call max game improvement across every category they tested the golf club.
Excellent.
It's a wonderful golf club for the players, and it's a category and a demographic that we haven't hit as well as we should have in the past because of our lack of marketing. But it is a great club for anybody, for men, women, seniors, players who just want something that looks great, feels great, it's easy to get up in the air. And with the new technology in the face, our hot metal steel, they're going to get more distance off the golf club, but still launch the ball at a high rate that'll give them distance and accuracy.
Great. Okay. Okay. Now, you also have a nice set of woods, the MP650 out.
MP650 is our newer line. Obviously, we're not known as well as the wood lines as are many of our competitors, and just once again, it's a marketing issue. So our new line, MP, like the MP irons, is a very traditional looking set of glove clubs. No interchangeable, no weight distribution in the driver. Just a great traditional look. Nice deep face. A very high end titanium. It's a 6-piece forged titanium golf club with a very large effective hitting area and that controls spin and distance. Just a great looking club at the player's address look to it. Not a club for your player that's a slicer, that's looking for a lot of forgiveness in the head. We previously did the JPX line of woods that Stacey Lewis still plays on the tour. That was a little more game improved. MP, once again, designed for that more game enhancement, slightly better player. That traditionalist that likes the golf club. It's a great product, great feel and feedback.
And Brian, when are you going to be here for a demo day so you can, you know, show us so we can feel it?
I'm working with some guys. Out of, actually, Joey and Adam, if you know, at Aloha Golf Center.
Yes, I do.
To do a couple of demo days.
Yes.
They've got one coming up. We've got one coming up in June 9th at the, forgive me, one thing I've had struggles with more than else is pronouncing all the names.
Oh, just spell it for me, and I'll help you. Show it.
I think it's the Waikele Country Club. It's W-A-I-K-E-L-E.
Waikele.
Waikele.
At the Waikele Golf course. Yes,
golf course,
it's a lovely course. It's really nice. It's in Waikele, near Waipahu. So this is with Joey And
doing Adam, they will have our fitting system, our wedges, and the woods on June 9th.
Excellent.
And the following week. Yeah, and the following week we're doing one. I'm still getting the final things from Lou Merkel, who works with, he was at Fort Schaffner Golf Course, but now he's over working at Wiley.
Yeah.
Leilahui, excuse me.
Leilahua.
He's going to be doing, and I'm organizing that, my boss is going to be over for that, so he's going to do that. And then in September, I'm going to be coming back over with, we'll have some new updates. We always have that's what we do as a company is August, we go to our sales meeting through the new product, and September is the line. So I'll be coming over showing the new stuff, and I'm going to try to get over that week and try to do a couple of demo days in between there. It was kind of a goal of mine in March to come over and do some demo days, and unfortunately, as you know, the weather was not very cooperative part of March, so I was not able to complete those. But I want to really get some of those going so people can experience something that has been lacking for us in Hawaii over the last few years is the ability of demo days for customers to go out and try the stuff outside. We've got some great dealers in the area that have all the product for people to see, but obviously demo days is a key for us.
Absolutely. Thanks for being on the show, Brian Morgan, Mizuno. We're looking forward to demo days with Joey from Aloha Golf Center. And Lou Merkel is Christina Merkel's dad and a great family. In fact, I have a great interview with Christina coming up on the show next week. So thank you for being on the show, and
thank
we'll talk soon, okay?
Great, thank you.
Aloha, we'll be back after this. We're going to be talking with a gentleman who is right in the mix, middle of the mix, from the Colonial. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting. Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
KPUA, Hilo, KGU, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo, KTOH, FM1, Princeville. Welcome to the show, Kevin Cassis over at the Colonial. This is Old School Caddy. How you doing?
Hi, young lady. How are you doing?
I'm the young lady and you're Old School Caddy. How did you get that name?
That's right. That's how I like to reverse it like that. You know, it's all good. Well, you know, the Old School Caddy just came up, you know, after, what is it, six, seven years carrying golf bags on the PGA Tour and then kind of working with my background previously from the Dallas Morning News and the Four Star Telegram, working into you know, just a website that I could develop from a blog perspective that kind of encompassed everything that caddies talk about with players on, you know, out on the golf course. So it's just one of those things I could put together along with, you know, my online golf shop. It just kind of made sense. It kind of all went together, and that's how I kind of came up with that.
I like it. It's oldschoolcaddy.com. online golf shop. Now, what can I find in the store?
Well, just like in your last segment there, your Mizuno rep, we've got plenty of Mizuno stuff, Callaway, Titleist, you name it. But he was talking specifically about the MP59 iron. I just am about to make that switch as well. A lot of things about Mizuno irons, when you make that change, there's not a lot of folks that come back from that change. They'll stick with Mizuno just from a loyalty perspective. They make great golf clubs, and you know they're engineered very well. And for the, you know, for the true ball striker, I think over the course of many, many years playing professionally and playing collegiately, you'll hear guys talk about the times that they've tried Mizuno irons and always liked them.
Uh-huh.
Of course, Mizuno, you know, they don't market heavily as the big boys do, as the Titleist or the Callaways. They don't pay as many players as much money on tour to market their items. But, you know, a lot of folks like a Luke Donald, like some of these other players that play Mizuno, Jonathan Berg. Those guys, they play Mizuno because they like the iron, and not necessarily that they couldn't get more money from somebody else to play another brand, but they just like the tools they play with out here.
So I just went to your website, and I clicked on the Tommy Armour 855S Silver Scott 56-degree wedge. And I can go to your site, and you have an eBay link. Is that what you do?
What I do is use the eBay platform, which, again, this is a 30-minute conversation to figure out why I do that. But
No.
It's the platform of the future. It's,
yes.
It's another for folks, and...
Kevin, we're kind of losing your conversation. It's kind of, if you just stand in the same place.
Sure, I'm actually in a radio booth here at Colonial, so I...
There you go.
They've got some perception here, but they're trying to work on that for a couple of years now, so
okay.
I don't think they've gotten through it yet.
Okay,
so.
But you're coming in much better now. Everybody trusts eBay. See, and what people use it all the time until they get burned. But knowing you, see, now we know when we're meeting you. So I can go to your site, and I can click on, I can learn about it, and I can see the price, and I can buy it now, and it can be sent to me, and I'm happy, right?
Absolutely, and I've had two or three purchases from the islands in the last few weeks. Don't be scared of shipping. I can make the shipping work, so it's... You know, it's a great way for folks to be able to get new and used equipment, you know, that they might not be able to get, you know, in different parts of the world. You know, I think the main demographic that I work with is 85%, roughly 80 to 88% of the wealth in the United States is outside a 100-mile radius. Which means a lot of folks don't get the opportunity to purchase the equipment at discounted rates. Metropolitan areas get to do that, and that's old school.
Okay, you're just cutting in and out, but I think if I can figure this out, you're just saying most people don't live within distance of a pro shop where they could go buy something, and this is where old school caddy can really connect you to the equipment that you hear about but don't have access to. And I did I get that right?
Absolutely. And it's new used equipment. It's tour equipment, stuff that needs to play out here that's not necessarily in the golf shop as well.
Yeah. All right. Everybody wants to know what the caddy and the golfer talk about. some of the golfers are actually saying, you know, Ricky Fowler talks about that all the time when he talks about what shot he did or what decision was made. We decided to do this. He and his caddy really confer over a decision they're making to what club they're going to use, what the distance and what the wind and everything. But in addition to all that, you guys talk about stuff. Do you talk about golf when you're walking down the fairway, or what are you really talking about?
About 75% of it I can tell you, and then there's about 25% of it that I can't tell you at all because I just can't tell you.
Yeah.
But the 75% of it, you know, is usually some of the things, you know, that I cover on my website, college football, college basketball. We talk about just the different things that we've done during the week. And when you come to Hawaii, and you get an opportunity to play at a Kapalua or play in the Sony Open, to play on Oahu, you know, there's lots to talk about. There's lots of things to do. You know, it's during the middle of the winter. Everybody's freezing back on the mainland. But we're there, you know, getting sun and, you know, getting around the golf course, watching this silly white ball, you know, chase around and chasing around for $1 million. So it's when those guys talk about we, you know, there's some team aspect to it and some things that, you know, really get close to home when you're talking about somebody that you're working for, somebody that's employing you. It really is, you know, it's the biggest fan is the guy standing with the bat. He's the biggest fan of the guy playing.
Yeah, I read something that was written by a caddy. He said if the tour pro fires the caddy, it's business. If the caddy fires the pro, it's personal.
That's pretty much right on the number there.
I thought that was insightful. You've been talking with Harrison Fraser. He wants to come back to Kapalua.
Actually, Harrison Fraser he had such a great time that week at the golf course, being around all the Ohana. You know, I got a good chance to teach him a few things about island life and being a transplant, if you will, living on the mainland, but my heart's always in Hawaii. But being able to kind of show him, you know, just some of the things that really make Hawaii special. And, you know, he loves it. I mean, 6-7 years ago, he lost to Ernie Els in a playoff, you know, at Sony Open. Last year, he finally breaks through with his first win on tour, gets to Kapalua, you know, and I didn't tell him I was coming out. But we met up there at Kapalua, and he was so excited. He was like, isn't this great? And I'm like, yeah, this is where I got married. You know, this is a great place. It really is. And, you know, and the plantation course and their staff, you know, Johan Emanuel, a good friend of mine at Kapalua, they treat you first class over there, as well as the things that they do at Sony Open on Oahu. It's being around, it's for me, it's like being family. Even though I'm from Texas, Texas and Hawaii have a lot in common, and
it's all about the food, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, food. Food is the center of the universe in Texas and in Hawaii. In fact, I met Kevin Cassis. This is oldschoolcaddy.com. I was standing in line for my coffee, my morning Joe. It was at Kapalua, and Kevin was herding his children and trying to keep them all organized in front of a pastry window. And he's trying to get, I think you were trying to get your coffee too, right, that morning?
Yeah, I was trying to get my coffee, my wife's coffee, and a little locomoco to take back to the cottage. And I was trying to keep both of them from slapping Frank Navalo around. So.
That's right. Frank was there too. That's great. Bo Van Pelt is doing very well. He's right now, he's third, I believe. Is that the position he's in?
As we speak, they're both. As we speak, all of the leaders are out on the golf course now. Jason Duffner and Zach Johnson are now out on the golf course. They both make birdie at number one. Bo Van Pelt makes birdie at one and two.
Ooh.
He's three shots back to lead at 9 under. And talked to Bo yesterday. You can follow him on Twitter at Bo Van Pelt. He's a great guy from Oklahoma State. Talk about somebody that loves the islands. Talk about somebody that enjoys being in Hawaii. Was very, very disappointed to win the HSBC championships last year and then not get invited to Kapalua, which we had a long conversation about yesterday. That is going to be changing, even though it is an official event, but does not count towards the money list. He did not receive his exemption into Kapalua by virtue of that win, even though there's world ranking points, et cetera, et cetera. Apparently, with the new changes now, with the season will start, you know, in the fall rather than in January, a win at the HSBC Championships will vault you into a berth at Kapalua. And that's good because Bo loves the golf course. Bo loves he's been wanting to get out there. He's been wanting to get to Maui and bring his family out. And that, you know, that's a great 2-week swing, you know, for
Yeah, it's great for the tour and it's great for Hawaii. We really appreciate it, you know, that we still have both of the events at Kapalua and as well as Waialae, the Sony Open. It's wonderful. I'm just covering right now because we're breaking up a little bit with you, Kevin.
Sure. With Hyundai has given their interest in staying with with the tournament, and I'll be interesting to see if they get through this next year, if they'll re-up. But I understand all intents and purposes they will do so, and with the schedule rearranged now to where these two events will in the first part of the tournament. You probably are going to get some Phil Mickelsons and some Tiger Woods and some players of that nature to start filling up those spots at Kapalua.
You think so? Really?
With the season starting
in September or October, or when is it going to start? November?
Yeah, I'm not even sure they know yet. But, it's going to start in the fall. The season will start in the fall, and I don't think it's totally set in stone exactly how it's going to go down. But once the season is underway, the season's underway. So if you're going to spot the field, two or three months before you get out and play your first, when you've got two events that you can play, similar to the Dallas area here where we had, a tournament last week at my home course for the H.P. Byron Nelson, and then now we're at Colonial this week for the Colonial National Invitational. When you've got the same situation in Hawaii where you've got tournaments back-to-back, and if you're eligible to play Kapalua, it would surprise me that if those guys don't decide to come out and get back into the mix as far as Hawaii goes.
That would be great. Kevin Kassis, it's oldschoolcaddy.com. Not only can you find great equipment, used, new, you can find really great insight into the game. And it's so much fun talking with you. We're going to have to get a really good phone line so that we don't break up. And I love talking with you. I love your energy. It's awesome. Thank you so much.
As time goes on, I'll make sure that we work it out and get that going on. But I appreciate you having me on, and much aloha to everybody on the island. And miss all the ohana, and we'll see you soon.
Oh, good. I know. I can't wait to see you. Thank you so much.
Right,
we'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment. From window system to cooling towers across Hawaii, call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
So I was sitting in my office feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinting do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation, Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels, your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. It's The Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
Welcome back. A very exciting time for KMR School of Golf, Kevin Robalski, and Fila Golf. And let's bring Kevin right in. I'm very excited to have you on the show. Kevin Robalski, President, Founder of KMR, welcome.
Hi, thanks, Danielle.
Absolutely. Now, when did Fila approach you?
Well, we had some nice meetings at the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando, Florida. I approached them. I really loved their styles, and their fabrics are really unique. And so I was very fortunate to talk to the head designer, and we started to exchange ideas. And then I just told them about our junior program, and they seemed really interested and excited about it.
You have a terrific program. It's a PGA of America recognized school, KMR. You were founded to you really, when you go in and find students, that you find students and you teach students who are committed. How do you go through the selecting process?
Yeah, it's usually people are curious about our golf school, and they will set up an interview with me, and so I talk to the families. I tell them about the golf school and what it involves, and you know, basically we have, it's a very intensive training school, which involves 6 days a week practice and a lot of exercise and conditioning, which is, I think, a little different about our golf school. And and then we give them a trial basis, try to make sure it's the right fit. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, it's for kids that want to work harder, it's really a great place for them.
Yeah, well, I was just talking with John Richardson, who wrote a book called Dream On, after he set himself on a quest to break par in a year, to take 30 strokes off his handicap. And he broke par, 71, wrote a book about his, and now it's being made into a movie. And one thing he said is that if you're going to do something, you have to understand that you're going to have to decide where I am now, what my skill is, what I want to be next, and the work that entails to accomplish the goal. So I imagine you're looking for students who want to meet those same kinds of desires. You know, this is where I am now. This is where I want to be. I'm going to have to work hard.
Yeah, and I want to put them in a place and give them an opportunity where they can make that happen and streamline the process. I mean, I'm a big believer in the book Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell, and,
yes,
and the fact you got to put in your 10,000 hours, and but to do it in an environment where there's other students doing it as well, and there's a sense of competition, and I think the competition is what keeps elevating their game, the sense that they're going to try to do better than the pack, and put them in that situation on a daily basis, as opposed to, let's say, you know, a typical student may go to the driving range and then just may hit balls rather mindlessly. And, you know, how productive that practice session is compared to a practice session where, you know, we're playing our closest to the pin against another stellar junior golfer. I mean, I think you get that little spike in improvement from that.
Absolutely. Plus, you have the competitive aspect of the game, which you don't have when you're just hitting balls on the range.
Yeah, yeah, and that's, you know, that's what it's all about ultimately. They've got to be able to do it in the competition.
Exactly. So you have, where is your school?
We're at Ko'olau Golf Course. I mean, we've been there since 2003. And yeah, so we have a really difficult golf course that the students play on. And, you know, again, you got to, it's really an ideal setting and an ideal golf course for us. And we have a private section of the driving range that's just for our school. And we also have an indoor academy where we do a lot of video and swing analysis. And we have an indoor putting green that kind of replicates the speed and the slope that you find in the mainland competitions.
Oh.
And yeah, so
that's good.
We have trainers that come in and a yoga instructor. So we try to cover all the pieces.
No, that's really good, because so many of the junior golfers that I talk with, high school, who go, or even younger, who go to compete on the mainland, and the greens, the different greens that they encounter, it throws them off completely. Also, the level of competition is surprising to them. So you're fostering that competitive spirit, and you're giving them the mainland conditions at KMR Golf. That's Kevin Robalski. That's brilliant.
Yeah, well, we've tried to do that. I mean, when I first came up with the ideas of, you know, trying to formulate a golf school for advanced junior golfers, I thought, you know, I tried to accompany my students to the national junior events, and then find out what the other families are doing and what the other coaches are doing. and try to do something along the same lines so that we would have some national success. And you know, fortunately, we've been able to do that. But, you know, it's you still have to find the right students and the right families. And then, you know, it's the matter of putting in the time and doing it over the long haul. That's really the key. Sometimes, you know, you can do it for a short term, but to be able to do it for a long period of time, that's what will really separate them.
When you said the family, what can a family expect? What kind of commitment does it take for a family to have a student in the game of golf pursuing a career?
Yeah, I think it's very extremely difficult. I know that, and it's a challenge for myself. It's a challenge for parents. I mean, golf is expensive. There's all the, you know, the equipment, the coaching, the greens fees, the travel. It can just all add up. And a lot of times, the reward though can be a golf scholarship. And so that's really our mission in the golf school is we try to create players that can achieve a college golf scholarship. And so, you know, just having the family dynamic so that, you know, and I try to meet and work with the parents so that they understand the process. And there's a lot of ups and downs in the game, and you've got to really be patient throughout it. And it's really hard because parents don't want to see their kids suffering. But that's part of it. And the students and the children will make mistakes. They're not professional. They're going to make a lot of mistakes. And, you know, you have to learn from them. And, you know, it's just one of those things as a coach, you have to kind of, you have to sort of buffer the failures and the setbacks. And sometimes, you know, it's hard with different personalities. So it can be tricky, you know, in that family dynamic. But golf is tough. It's very, very tough on the families, especially when the kids are young.
but it's important for them to know that the payoff isn't necessarily going to be in financial success. You might get a scholarship, a golf scholarship, in a school. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
You also, though, there's other ways that it enhances the child's character, the personality. It teaches a lot of facets. I'd like to take a break and talk about what golf does teach children. And more importantly, I suppose we should thank Fila Golf for providing clothing for the tournaments that the students at KMR are playing in. So can we take a break and come back right after this?
Sounds great.
Great. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us. house for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. Oh, man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Welcome back. We're talking to the president of KMR School of Golf, Kevin Rybalski, and he got connected.